What is the ultimate goal of all our teaching? What is the ultimate goal, Paul, while writing to Timothy? When you preach, make this your goal. Teach people to make this the goal in their life. Number one, love. Not just love. Love from a pure heart. From a pure heart, love. So we could say there are four things here. You begin with a pure heart. And from that must come love. And a good conscience. Now, a pure heart is different from a good conscience. You need to understand that. And a sincere faith. That means a faith without any hypocrisy, without any pretense. So let's just think about that for a few moments. Beginning with a pure heart from which love must come. The difference between a good conscience, which we'll come to a little later, and a pure heart is this. A good conscience means my heart, a conscience is part of my heart or my spirit. A good conscience means my heart is not convicting me at any time of anything I've not confessed. As soon as I'm aware of a sin, I'm confessing it immediately and it's cleansed. My conscience is clear, my conscience is good. If I've hurt somebody, I ask his forgiveness. My conscience is clear. If I haven't asked his forgiveness, my conscience is not clear. So we got to begin. We'll come to a good conscience. That's important. But before I come to that, a pure heart is different from a good conscience in this sense. A good conscience is a heart in which no sin is there. A pure heart is one in which nothing is loved except God himself. A pure heart is one which loves God supremely. It's not just a good conscience. A lot of people have a good conscience. They say, if I've hurt anybody, I ask forgiveness. If I committed a sin, I confess it immediately. If I have a bad thought, I confess it immediately. Yeah, that's good. We'll come to that. But begin with a pure heart, which is a heart which has no place in it for anyone but God. I'll tell you why I say that. It says in Romans 8 that the reason why God gave us the Holy Spirit, one purpose of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 4, is so that the requirement of the law, let's read from verse 3, Romans 8 verse 3, what the law could not do. And then we come in a moment to what the law could not do. Because it was weak because of our flesh. God did. How did he do that? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin. He put sin, judged sin in the flesh on Jesus when he died on the cross. It was judged. The purpose is, now see, that requirement of the law which could not be fulfilled till now can now be fulfilled in us who walk according to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now we come to what is the requirement of the law which the Holy Spirit seeks to fulfill in us. That we can see in Jesus' reply to somebody who asked him in Matthew 22:36. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? What does the law really require from us? And Jesus said, I'll tell you in one sentence. You shall love the Lord your God, Matthew 22:37, with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And he says, that's like a coin. You've got to turn the other side and see that side also. You've got to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the requirement of the law. Let's get it very clearly. God created man, and this is his requirement, that his heart should love God supremely with all his heart. It's like when you fill a vessel completely with something, there's no place in it for anything else. There's no place in my heart for anything or anyone else other than God. That's why Jesus said, even if you love your father or mother, you love your wife or your husband more than me. He said, you can't be my disciple. It's because many people don't take these commandments seriously that all their life, their Christian life, they are struggling, they're climbing up, falling back. They never seem to make much progress in the Christian life. They never have a revelation from God when they read the word. It's a dull routine. I mean, even if they leave some dead church and come to a good church where they say, oh, maybe love one another and care for one another, great. But if you don't love God with all your heart, if there's something in your heart other than God, something you're interested in other than God, you're always going to have a problem. Because the ultimate goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. That's the number one thing that Paul says. He says, all the other things, there are so many strange teachings, but don't let that lead you astray from the number one thing, love from a pure heart, a heart that has no place in it for anyone or anything other than God. And people say, what about loving my wife and children? You love your wife and children much more faithfully and much more sacrificially if God is the one you love the most. If you don't love God the most, your love for your wife, I assure you, will be selfish. You will love in the eyes of the world, but it will be a very selfish love because you are still in the center. You may do so many things. In the eyes of the world, you may be a very loving husband, but you don't really, deep down, you love yourself. The only way to eliminate that is to love God more than you love your wife, more than you love your husband, more than you love your children, more than you love, and not only love your brothers, more than you love anyone else. That's the way God made us. So that's where we begin. The first commandment is you shall love God with all your heart. There's no place for anything else. With all your mind and all your soul, our ability to do our work with our mind will be much better if I love God with all my mind. That doesn't mean I have to think about God all the time. No, I don't think about God all the time. No, I do 101 other things during the day. But my mind is God's. I will not let some thought which is contrary to the love of God come into my mind. As soon as I come there, I throw it away. I don't want it. But I'm not thinking about God all the time. To love God with all your mind doesn't mean that. It means God is a supreme, important person in every area of my life. And I want to ask you, dear brothers and sisters, is that true in your life? Is it true? You'll do your work much better. You don't have to be a full-time Christian worker to do that in your secular job where you may have to spend 10 hours in your office being occupied with your work in your office. You'll do every part of that work much better if God is the supreme desire and affection of your heart. Even as a wife or a mother looking after your children, you'll do it much better. If you decide God is going to be the supreme desire and affection of my heart. If you can say, like the psalmist said in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's nothing and no one I desire on earth beside thee. I believe that's one of the greatest expressions of our love for God. I remember as a young Christian, I got gripped with that verse in Psalm 73:25. If you don't know that verse, you must remember it. That's one verse you must keep in memory all the time. Psalm 73, verse 25. It's a great verse. It's written by a psalmist who said, my foot almost slipped when I compared my life with that of others. But then he discovered God is good. Psalm 73:1, to those who are pure in their heart. But when I didn't understand that, my feet almost slipped when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. And it's so easy for our feet to slip when we think of how well it's going with others and so many problems we have. But he says, it all disappeared when I came to this place, Psalm 73:25. I came to the place, he says, the psalmist, that I'm going to desire nothing on earth but God. And when I get to heaven, I'm not looking for the golden streets. I'm not looking for mansions or crowns or freedom from pain and suffering and all the things people look for when they go to heaven. I'm looking for God. I'll tell you honestly, in the early days of my Christian life, I thought going to heaven was the great thing. I'll tell you honestly, I'm speaking before God, I have zero interest in going to heaven. Absolutely zero. My desire is to be with Jesus Christ. He's the passion of my heart. And I even told the Lord this once. I said, Lord, if you're in hell, I'll spend eternity with you in hell. With all the fires burning around me and the worms biting me. If you're there, that's my heaven is there. My heaven is not in a geographical location where everything is comfortable and easy and nice. No, my heaven is Jesus Christ. And that's fine. For me, heaven has begun already. I'm really speaking the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, your life will be radically changed if you decide to love God with all your heart. It's not a strain or a burden. Far from it. Do you think Jesus' life was a strain or a burden? His life was the most relaxed life that anybody ever lived. He had no anxiety in his mind. He could sleep peacefully at night. He had no bitterness against anyone. Nothing. Because he loved the Father with all his heart. And he never, never wanted to do anything that displeased his Father. He loved God with all his heart. And when we say that is the first commandment, it's like God saying to us, I want to make you like Jesus. I want to make your life like the life of Jesus. And the secret of his life was that he loved me with all his heart, God says. Come there. Determined to get there and examine your heart and see, Lord, are you first in my life? Or am I living by rules? Yeah, I must pray a few minutes. I must read the Bible a few minutes. And I must go to church or attend some Zoom meeting at least once a week, if possible twice a week. You're not going to be happy with following the rules and you ease your conscience. I've done it. No. I don't live by rules. I did once upon a time. It's good to be live by rules if you're a thoroughly indisciplined person. Then do make a rule to read the Bible every day. And if you're careless about church, then do make a rule to attend a Zoom meeting at least once or twice a week. But you shouldn't be satisfied with that. No. Lord, if there's a moment in my life and I don't love you with all my heart, I have backslidden. That's the rule I've made for myself anyway. Anytime in my life when I don't really love God with all my heart, I'm not saying I can't do other things. I can do 101 things, secular things, earthly things. You can enjoy a good meal. You can do so many things. But if it's not leading you, if you're not loving God with all your heart, then all of that is just, I wouldn't say a waste of time, but it's not Christianity.